Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility presents The Vermont Conversation with David Goodman, exploring ideas with innovators, change makers, business leaders, politicians, and activists. This special feature from VBSR is underwritten in part by The Alchemist, serving the greater Waterbury community and Vermont since 2003. The University of Vermont Medical Center, Burlington, Vermont, the heart and science of medicine. National Life Group, which lives its values every day to do good, be good, make good. Concept 2, designers and manufacturers of Concept 2 rowing oars, indoor rower, and ski erg, and proud to support nonprofit groups such as Salvation Farms, moving surplus foods from farms to those who need it. By Green Mountain Power, partnering with customers on energy innovation while delivering clean, reliable, and cost-effective power. And Let's Grow Kids, focusing on the first years of child development, as well as over 750 Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility members. Here is David Goodman.
Welcome to this week's Vermont Conversation. It is November, and that means at least a few things. If you are the parent of a high school senior, it means you are deep in the world of college applications with your child and thinking about college. Later in the show, we'll be talking about why it is that Vermont has one of the highest high school graduation rates in the country, but one of the lowest rates of students continuing to college and staying in college. And we'll be talking with Scott Giles, the president of the Vermont Student Assistance Corporation, about a study that they did on this topic that just came out. Well, the other thing that November means is winter is right around the corner. I've gotten at least one of my cars to get its snow tires on, but the 60-degree weather has gotten me feeling a little bit lazy about getting the other car, getting the tires on. But the people, the folks who are thinking about skiing are well on their way to making plans, and we have three of them to talk about the current state and future prospects for backcountry skiing in Vermont. And with us to talk about that this week is Amy Kelsey, the executive director of the Catamount Trail Association, Brian Moore, who's the head of the Vermont Backcountry Alliance, and Zach Freeman is with us from ROSTA, the Rochester Area Sports Trail Association. Welcome all of you to the Vermont Conversation.
Thanks, David.
Thanks, David.
Hello.
Thank
you.
Well, let's start here with Amy Kelsey from the Catamount Trail Association. Amy, the Catamount Trail is really the pioneer, the trailblazer of backcountry skiing in Vermont. Tell us a little bit about what it is, how long it's been around.
I'd be happy to. The Catamount Trail has been around a little bit longer than I have. You have probably known about it for longer than many of us. It started in 1984. 32 years ago by three fellows, recent graduates who were looking for an adventure and thought, we're going to ski the length of Vermont. They looked up at the mountains and they made a plan and they figured out a way to make it happen. The trail today is a little bit different, but it is over 300 miles long. It runs from the southern border of Vermont in Reedsboro all the way up to Jay and North Troy, and it ends right at the Quebec border. And it's fully connected. You can ski the whole thing. Some parts are probably a little more challenging to find or to ski than others, but it's an adventure for sure. And the Catamount Trail Association has been in existence almost since that time in 1984 and works to both maintain and improve that trail and also to conserve it, to acquire property easements, our trail easements for the trail on private lands, and to locate the trail on conserved lands, whether they're private or public, so that when lands does change hands, the trail can remain there. So that is the real focus of our work on sort of an infrastructure side. And we also do a lot of work to just advocate in general for backcountry and cross-country skiing in the state of Vermont.
And so for listeners for whom this is a really new idea, this is completely separate from the long trail. Explain the difference between the two.
Okay, yes, it's completely separate from the long trail, although there are a few places where we overlap or intersect. for anyone who's been atop a ridge in Vermont on the Long Trail, they might be able to picture the Krumholz, the small shrubby trees, the exposure, the ladders that you go up and down from time to time on the Long Trail. Those aren't very fun with skis or even snowshoes on your feet. So the Catamount Trail tends to stay a little bit lower. And also, the founder's idea was to connect ski resorts, Nordic ski areas, and also to connect inn-to-inn. And that's still a vision in the making. There are sections of the trail, if you're around Waterbury, Bolton, Stowe, even down in Middlebury, Ripton area, where you can ski fairly well from inn to inn, but that's not the case the entire length of the trail. So the original vision and the current state of the trail is not just a wilderness experience. There's a lot of that, but there's also a connection to communities, local economies, and ski, just ski industry interests.
Do you have any sense of how many users ski on the Catamount Trail?
It's a really great question. We have had trail registers. They can be a challenge. You never know how many people actually sign in. And we also count people that participate in Catamount Trail events, come out on the trail, and then sort of try to extrapolate to get a number. So in any given year, in the 2 to 3 months that we have of snow, we involve somewhere around 1,000 people in organized, planned events and tours. So I think it's fairly... accurate is probably not the word, but fair enough to say that there's at least 10 people going out of the trail for every one that we see. A real number, I don't know, but 10,000 seems very plausible.
I would say that's probably a low figure, given what I see at some of the more popular trailheads, you know, in the Waterbury, Bolton, Stowe area. You can't even get a parking spot on a nice winter day, and these would, you know, be things that follow the Catamount Trail, but then also all the amazing terrain that is in the general neighborhood, in the woods, you know, near in the Catamount Trail. Well, let's bring into the conversation Brian Moore. Brian is the head of the Vermont Backcountry Alliance, which is now part of the Catamount Trail Association. Brian, welcome to the Vermont Conversation.
How's everyone doing? Not snowing today.
Not snowing today, no. It certainly isn't. I drove down here, and the car thermometer said 60 degrees, and I was kind of wondering,
wow,
what's going on here?
I'm looking at photographs from this very date in years past where we were skiing up to a foot of fresh snow in the mountains.
Well,
never know in November, do you?
You never know. So explain what is the Vermont Backcountry Alliance?
Well, Amy did a great job painting a nice picture about the Catamount Trail Association. And the Vermont Backcountry Alliance emerged over the last few years as a new program of the Catamount Trail Association. So the CTA, as we call it for short, is the parent organization of this new program that intends to really connect with the broader backcountry community than those who historically have been following the Catamount Trail itself. So including people who are out there skiing and backcountry snowboarding all around the state in many different kinds of ways. And I think a lot of us over the past 5 to 10 years especially have been having the same kinds of conversations in our communities about pursuing backcountry projects and programs of all kinds. Is there a way we can be working together as a broader community and connecting with landowners and connecting with other partners as a broader community rather than trying to sort of go at things on our own individually, community by community? So I think what's happening is the Vermont Backcountry Alliance is emerging as the real voice, as the sort of primary voice for the broader backcountry community in Vermont.
So there's a big forum on tomorrow night, Thursday night, in Rochester. Tell us a little bit about that. What do people need to know?
Well, the forum is in its third year. Rasta and many folks connected to the backcountry community got together 3 years ago to kick off that first forum, and it was a conversation and discussion that really gave life to the Vermont Backcountry Alliance today. And it's exciting that it's become a celebration of sorts and really an annual gathering at this point. Really fun evening of activities at the venue in downtown Rochester Village, right across from the green at the Pierce Hall Community Center. And doors open at 6, about an hour of socializing. We've got Josh Panda providing some background music, which will ramp up into a full-blown dance party by, say, 9 o'clock. At 7 o'clock, we're going to kick into some presentations about some latest projects throughout the state. We're going to screen a new film about the Vermont Backcountry Alliance by T-Bar Films that is just hitting the screens now around the country, a short film, just a 6-minute film about the Vermont Backcountry called Shared Lines. And we'll be diving into the topic or the sort of idea of backcountry huts in Vermont and what the future of backcountry huts could be here in our Green Mountain State. There'll also be a potluck affair, so anyone interested in eating or contributing to the potluck, please do, and a cash bar and a great big raffle that we'll do around 8:45 before the dance party that I mentioned. So great opportunity to connect with a lot of folks around the state and hear about some fun updates and just celebrate the coming season.
We're listening to the Vermont Conversation. We're talking about backcountry skiing in Vermont. Our number is 244-1777 or toll-free 877-291-8255. We've got Amy Kelsey from the Catamount Trail Association in the studio, Brian Moore from the Vermont Backcountry Alliance on the line, and Zach Freeman from Rasta. I'll just say my own observation about the Backcountry Forum in Rochester that is tomorrow night that Brian was just talking about. This will be my third year going, and the first year it was put on by Rasta, the Rochester Trails Group. You know, I didn't really expect much driving all the way down to Rochester in the stick season here, and to my amazement, hundreds of people were packed into the community hall there, Payne Hall, for what has evolved into continuing to be a bigger and bigger and funner kind of celebration. People obviously pretty excited early November. There's not much skiing going on of the natural snow kind, but there's certainly a lot of excitement going on about it. Brian, what is your – give us a picture of – the vision of kind of some of the thinking around huts and yurts that that have been kicking around in your head?
It's a great question. Looking forward to getting into it with the crowd tomorrow night. Gosh, there's so much we could be doing here in Vermont and that we currently are doing around huts and cabins. But oddly enough, Vermont is not known for having a real good number of options for backcountry huts in the wintertime. There are a few here and there. And there are definitely some around the state that are more conducive to Nordic skiing or snowshoeing, but there aren't the kind of backcountry huts that are well-situated for downhill backcountry skiing and riding, where you want to be in steeper mountain country, climbing to get up into the mountains under your own power with your own legs and lungs, and then skiing back downhill to that cozy cabin or hut. The structures we do have around the state tend not to be heated. There are no wood stoves in most of these structures. The long trail shelters are devoid of wood heat these days for obvious reasons. And there are a smattering of other lodges and lean-tos, again, without winter heat. So it makes getting around in the wintertime pretty challenging when you've got to dry your gear, stay warm, cook your food, and do all that, and save some energy for skiing and riding. Now, there are a few examples of existing huts that are good for winter travel. In the Bolton backcountry area, there historically have been two huts that have been used throughout the wintertime quite comfortably, and there's discussions underway about renovating those facilities with the GMC heading up that effort, the Green Mountain Club. The GMC also manages a few other places around the state, lodges around the state, but again, they're not well situated for backcountry skiing and riding of the downhill variety. They're more conducive to Nordic skiing. So over the years, people have felt like wouldn't it be nice if we had some more options for huts in Vermont, where folks could go out and push into the backcountry, stay a night or two, perhaps even connect one or two or three huts in the way they do up at the Maine Hudson Trail system. Maine, the Gaspé, Eastern Quebec has nearly a dozen huts that you can connect over a multi-day ski tour. Around the Rocky Mountain region of the U.S., up in British Columbia, Idaho, the Sawtooths, there are various networks of mountain huts around the country, around the continent, of course, around the world. that allow people to go hut to hut, skiing and riding. So the idea of bringing those kinds of options to Vermont is really exciting to a lot of people.
Okay, well, let's bring Zach Freeman into the conversation. Zach, you've been involved with the Rochester Area Sports Trails Alliance, RASTA. Well, welcome to the Vermont Conversation.
Thank you.
So you have been involved in Braintree, which for folks who are geographically challenged and may not know where that is off of the Randolph exit. It's right near Randolph. Talk about the new terrain that you've been involved in developing there.
Yeah, thank you. The Braintree Mountain Forest was created back in late 2013 when Sharon Reeves and Paul Kendall gave 1,500 acres of land to the New England Forestry Foundation, and that's a user conservation group that's based in Littleton, Mass. And when that transaction occurred on the land, RASTA formed as well. And I approached NIF at that same time, and we developed the master plan for the backcountry skiing network based on a really nice existing network of woods trails that Sharon and Paul have made over the years on that land. And from day one, NIF was very on board with it, and so we developed the map with, you know, zones off of two of the four peaks that are in that tract of land, Skidoo and Twin Peaks. And we started to cut the first trails last fall, October 24th and 25th. We had our first work weekend, and we had a great turnout, about 35 volunteers, some from RASTA and just friends that came as well. Came, and we had chainsaws and loppers and handsaws, and we went up and we cut the first of now five runs that we have up there, and that was a grand success, just that one run last year. And then this spring we had a few more work days and more folks came out, and then just a couple of weekends ago we had a very successful work weekend also on the 24th and 25th, and we cut the fourth and fifth full run off Skidoo Mountain.
So how do people who are interested in skiing these trails, how do they find out where to go and where to find them?
So it's the trailhead is off of Reifer Brook Road, that's off of 12A. We don't have a map yet. We're trying to kind of ease into the mapping side of this, just to kind of see how the traffic flow will be managed in the years to come. So I think we might do a map once all of the runs are cut. We have about half of what the grand plan has in store. So there's no maps right now. There will be a map at the trailhead, though, that we're going to build a new trailhead kiosk this fall. And so they can look for the trailhead kiosk off of Reifer Brook Road, about a mile and a half up off of Route 12A.
Okay, we have a caller on the line, Nils from Duxbury. Nils, welcome to the Vermont Conversation.
Thanks, Dave, for taking my call. Great show, I'm hoping to make it to the event tomorrow night. But hey, Brian, how you doing? You were talking about a minute ago about doing the huts. This is something that's near and dear to my heart, and I told my fiance and my son the other day, who's 13 now, that I definitely want to spend more time skiing in the woods this winter rather than our good old favorite up at Mad River. But I would love to plug into doing efficient, compact, easy to backpack if necessary buildings for this project, and I'm just going to sort of raise my hand from the back of the room and volunteer right now.
Thanks, Bill.
To try to make that work, because I've been in a funny habit of building small, compact buildings for a long time, and it's something that I really enjoy. So I look forward to that conversation. And
great to have you involved, Nils.
Goodness knows that of the places that you guys know about, I think the only one I've been to that is public is there's the one up at Bolton, and I remember years ago, I remember looking at the chimney set up for the wood stove, and I was like, wow. Obviously, this was put in by some, very energetic and enthusiastic, volunteers that probably didn't know how to put chimneys in.
It was kind of
scary. But anyway, yeah. God bless, and keep up the good work, and I'll put the phone down and try to listen.
We'll be in touch, Nils. Thanks for the offer.
Okay.
Volunteer energy.
Thank you.
Like Nils is the key to everything that's going on here. Throughout the backcountry community. So,
Amy, let's talk a little bit about, we're hearing about these developments in Braintree, but this is going on all around the state. So Amy Kelsey from the Catamount Trail Association, talk about this kind of next generation of trails. There was the Catamount Trail was the beginning, but we're on to many new iterations of this now.
Yeah, and some might argue that we're returning to something as it was in the past, but the Backcountry Alliance and the Catamount Trail Association, we've been working with, and Rasta, with public land managers also to see how we can create additional opportunities like what Zach's been working on in Braintree. He is working with a private land manager, and while that may or may not be beneficial in the process, it all depends on the people involved. I think they've been able to move at a slightly different pace, and it's understandable. So they're kind of on the leading edge in Braintree. We're working with the Forest Parks and Rec from the state of Vermont, and at the same time with Green Mountain National Forest, to determine some ways that we can do this on their lands. And it seems that both agencies are interested and invested in figuring out how to make this happen. However, they're also very conscientious about being good stewards of their land and not wanting to tax it in ways, or tax the habitat and the different species that live there in ways that are going to be detrimental. So it's a very delicate balance, and it's something that we're moving forward with. There are proposals to the state and also to the Forest Service. People have probably heard about who are skiers and are paying attention to these stories about the project in Rochester up on Brandon Gap.
Just mention briefly what that is.
Yeah, there's a zone that's been popular for local skiers over the years, that kind of drops off near the top of Brandon Gap, and a variety of terrain in there to explore. And Rasta has really headed up this effort, and they've proposed creating some more glades, such as what Zach was just describing, on this public land, and having that accessible from the top and the bottom, and creating some parking, and defining, going in with guidance, of course, and quite a bit of planning before any sort of implementation, but to create some ski and riding zones where basically if you go out in the woods in Vermont, it's not quite like going out in the woods in Colorado or Wyoming, where there's just so much undergrowth here. Hobblebush, we love hobblebush, but
It's a little more intimate.
It's here. A little bit more intimate in our woods. That's correct.
All right. Well, we are just about out of time here for this conversation, and I knew this would go quickly. I promise this will not be the last time we talk about skiing on this show this winter, since we're only just getting underway. I want to remind folks about that tomorrow night, Thursday, November 5th, for folks who really want to get excited about the winter ahead. The Vermont Backcountry Forum will be happening in Rochester at Pierce Hall, and really, you don't need specific directions. Just drive to Rochester and look at where hundreds of cars are parked, and the lights and music are coming out of that, and it's that building. So anyway, I want to thank you, Amy Kelsey from the Catamount Trail Association, Bryant Moore from the Vermont Backcountry Alliance, and Zach Freeman from Rasta for joining us.
Thank you, David.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, everyone. It's been a pleasure.
Okay, we'll be back
see you tomorrow night
after the news.